Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the kitchen. The roundtable of Sports City is underway. We got 60 minutes so I can get people out to their endeavors and everything that they want to jump into for the weekend. I want to make sure that I get y'all a small little plate so y'all can enjoy this weekend and come back here as soon as possible. But I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. Sport City, welcome on back to this round seat. Let's go. On the call, the number is 917-889-9592. We got the next 60 minutes live to go to the Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the system. I'm already hearing rumblings that people got stuff that they want to get into. So that's okay, because I feel some type of way, man. I don't like to, you know, snatch dishes out of people's hands or keep them away from what they want to do. So I'm going to get in and get out the best way that we can. Like I said, there's a lot on the plate here at the roundtable, so I do want to spoon out a lot of these topics as much as possible, and then get this weekend underway. Like we need to, man. I mean, we got one more week of June. We're about a month and a half away from August, so we could at least smell some preseason football. I mean, we got training camps and, you know, OTAs, things like that. So you know me, I got to keep that football around here. I got to at least try. Okay, calling in by way of the Virginia region of the United States of America, we have Tommy B in the building. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good.
And for a little poke at Tommy, I got a little joke for Tommy. I hope he's ready. But there's a football camp going on down there in Baltimore, and Steve Smith is actually helping host or kind of chaperoning, and a little kid made a dig at him saying that he needs to go join the Patriots, trying to get him off the Ravens already. And Steve kind of got mad at the kid and told him to get away from me, and the kid is everybody. He had to be under 8 years old, had to be, but you could tell he was raised a Patriot fan, and it was funny to see how Steve Smith responded. So I had to get that one out to you before we got started. And anything toward the little fan, I don't know if you've seen the clip of Steve Smith in the Ravens football camp.
Nope. He'll be all right.
He'll be all right.
I guess he just wants another Super Bowl bought for a Patriots.
They bought it. Okay. I won't even jump into that. But however, I will get involved with some football, and I do want to see how you feel about this one, right? The Pittsburgh Steelers, your division rival, have released Sean Swisham for failing his physical. Now, mind you, here goes another situation where the Steelers are addressing their kicker situation. They are just a year and a half away from where they actually let go of their kicker previously to bring a Swisher into the doors. Now they have a situation of him trying to recover from his injury, and he couldn't pass the physical. So now I know that they're going to be searching like crazy to try to bring another kicker in the door, but this is crazy that it's been a kind of a revolving door with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And mind you, they got a feasible amount of time, at least before we get to the end of August. I don't even want to look at it like preseason, because that's where they basically have their test run and see how they can make kicks and game situations. But looking at this situation, I'm thinking back as far as the kicker Reed that they had, knowing that he's only had a short stint of time being with this Pittsburgh Steelers team. Your thoughts on his situation of being released by the Steelers team?
You really want to know what I think about the Pittsburgh
analytically, analyzing it, not personally.
I guess everybody can have money, Tucker.
Look at this.
I think this is hilarious that they can't find a kicker to kick up in that shithole they call it Heinz Field. I think this is hilarious. Congratulations. That's fine. You can just go for two, I guess, all the time. I can't wait. I can't wait to see who they put up there now. Because the first time he misses a field goal, the first time he misses one, and just a regular extra point, wide left, wide right, Tomlin will probably yank him off the field, tell him to set his ass down, and then fire him the next day. I think it's so funny how they can't keep a kicker up there. I don't know what to think of it. I think it's hilarious. Well, like I said, I guess everybody can have money, Tucker.
I'm not getting started with you. I throw a little joke at the Ravens because I know the last show that we had, we were going back and forth about the Ravens. And we can. I mean, it's fun. It's a round table. But
and what is Money Tucker, the same guy that kicked a 60-plus field goal up in Detroit?
If you want, we can go that route. If you want, yes, you guys won the game 18-15, and he won the game from 60 yards out. Okay, fine. If you want that one, fine. But I know if we play y'all again, just like we had James Controversy Greenwood here, I think Stafford will show out on Flacco. And I think the next time we play you guys, it'll be in Baltimore too. So we got to go in Maryland and get it done. So that'll make it even better. I think it'll be even better to go to Baltimore and get it done. But knowing that, back to the situation, I want to talk about your division rival before we get personal about this situation. Now, it's funny because we watched Reed leave. They actually lost Reed, and then they get a guy like, you know, Tweetsham in. Tweetsham actually had a good amount of kicks before he, you know, got injured. You know, the Scobie situation, they can revisit this and then try and bring Scobie in and be the guy at the end of the day. But this is a very interesting situation for the Pittsburgh Steelers in a kicking game. And depending on how, you know, everything pans out for these guys across the board, let alone the one that I'm looking at, which I talked about on a previous show with their running back and Le'Veon Bell, seeing how he bounces back from his knee injury as well. Because not for nothing, he was one of the highly noted running backs going into the season last year. He went down, and it kind of made the Steelers nearly predictable. You kind of knew that they were passing regardless. Even though, you know, you had a running back like D'Angelo coming out of the back, so doing some interesting things for them, you knew it was been a bust. At least from my perspective, looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers. But
this is the same squeeze that got released in Washington mid-season.
Right.
I mean, this man can't keep a job to save his life. Maybe he should find a new profession.
Wow.
Because, I mean, he's got kids. Now, I will say this, for his not to beat on him, both of those teams, Washington and Pittsburgh, both have something in common. Their fields is horrible for an NFL stadium.
Right.
That's hard. They're both horrible.
And Heinz Field has actually been remade after, you know, Three River Stadium. So, I don't know. I mean, it's been running for a while. But you know, especially when water, like, especially when that field gets wet, the conditions on that field are terrible. Just like Tommy's saying, Heinz Field doesn't have the best fielding, if you will. But, I mean, it's getting outside of the kicker situation. I just want to see how this pans out from now until the middle toward the end of preseason to see who they end up going with and end up making the guy. And hopefully they don't have to settle for field goals, at least analytically, even though I know personally you know that the kicking is a part of the game, especially with the way that things have been going on with the extra point and moving it back 15 yards and having the kick from a hash or kicking down the middle. All of this comes into play to whoever is going to end up being the guy, you know, amassing the kicks, if you will, getting that out of the way. Now, I know in the green room, me and Tommy had actually spoken on several different players who are being approached by the NFL in a PED situation. So, Tommy, I wanted to get this to you so we could address this and throw this one around the kitchen as well.
Yes, it's being reported that the NFL is investigating and want to talk to James Harrison, Pittsburgh Steeler, Julius Peppers, Green Bay Packers, and on and on and on, and Clay Matthews for PED use. Now, this is the same, it's the stories coming out of the same story that Peyton Manning, the same people that broke the whole Peyton Manning thing. I don't know what to think. I mean, if they did use it, it would not shock me one bit. Nothing, nobody, no player can say, even the ones that I like, players that I really like in any sport. I mean, that's any sport. It would not shock me anymore. I don't know how to take this. I don't know if it's how to take it. But if it comes down, it would not shock me. And the funny part is, two of them are teammates now in Green Bay.
It's interesting how that works. And it's funny because the history around baseball is like, a lot of teammates do end up using at the same time. And it's crazy that I look at it like this, but it's true. Let's look at it like this. You had Poppy and you had Manny, right? You also had McGuire and Canseco, you know? And now looking at football, you got Clay and Peppers. And not to say that these two are tied into doing it at the same time, but you look at sports like this, and it's kind of like, well, if you do it, I'll do it. Like, and I don't know if that's the conversation that these guys have, but that's the way that we look at it from the outside looking in. And these guys are just being addressed about it. You know, I don't know if they basically got their hands spiked in this situation and are going to end up, you know, sitting out a significant amount of time or whatever, but it's interesting that this is still remaining around sports and leaving a black eye on sports, no less, and it's football. And the crazier part about it is these are big names. These are big names. Clay Matthews, Harrison is starting to settle down because he's getting late in the impact. I can't even really, like, keep them into the echelon of being high-powered athletes because these guys are on the downside of their careers, but they do hold impact while they're on the field. I mean, Harrison has been a guy that a lot of people are looking toward retiring. Peppers still can make plays, but I think Peppers is, you know, close to, you know, rounding that situation as well, but they're questioning them, and just like you said, they're linked to the same situation, similar to the Peyton Manning ordeal, if you will. But I just hope this doesn't actually end up bothering these guys going toward the season analytically. Like I'm saying, I know personally, you'd have to catch me off the air because I'd be talking a whole bunch of junk, especially two notable Packers fans that I know and Steelers fans as well. But quality names, big guys, impact players, guys that come off the edge and basically get to your quarterback or can make big hits now. I know that we had the situation where James came in and basically called, you know, Clay Matthews a one-dimensional guy. But he's still a impact player, like I said, huge off the corner trying to deal with tackles that can be slower than him and can't really get a hand on him. So I guess once he gets to the outside shoulder, he can get to the quarterback better. But he puts himself in questionable situations. Once he runs out of the play, he's literally lost, you know, for a couple of yards. And especially on, you know, especially the situation where James addressed it in the running game, he might get caught out of position and end up having to try and make a play downfield. But these three names are pretty huge in this ordeal. And anything else toward this, or anything you want to talk about toward maybe the Packers and their defense, because their defense has actually been questionable as of the past couple of seasons. And do you think this is a situation, if this does heat up, does a player like Harrison end up hanging the cleats up at the end of the day? Because he is nearing the end of his career also.
Just that, just imagine if this is true, and Matthews does have this suspension, how this taints everything he's ever done. And what this does for the Matthew name. I mean, his uncle played in the NFL. His father played in the NFL. He has a younger brother that last I heard was in Philadelphia, but I'm not sure where he's at now. And there's another Matthews in, I believe, USC.
No, the youngest brother. And they also have another Matthews that plays football for the Falcons as well, his cousin.
Yeah, maybe that's the one I was thinking of. But, I mean, I don't want to say, but, I mean, James Harrison is a one-trick pony anymore. He does one thing and one thing only, and that's rush the quarterback. He can stop the run here and there. He can't cover. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he was using them just to be able to pick up some little speed and everything else. And I'm not saying this because he's a Steeler and blah, blah, blah. He is getting up there in the tooth. I mean, who knows how much longer he does have. He may, if this comes out, it's true and everything, he may retire. Same way with Julius Peppers, because Julius Peppers has been around for a while, too.
Right.
I mean, he was, 98 in Carolina? Something like that. So,
right.
I mean,
about...
Peppers has been around for a while, too. And Peppers, there's times I didn't even know he was even on the field last year. So... It's going to be very interesting to stay close to the story if it starts getting heat or if it just goes away like the whole Peyton Manning story did.
So, in looking at his career, Peppers has been in the league since 2002.
Wow. I put him in there longer than what I thought.
So, and that's when he actually graduated high school because he was a year ahead of me. So, he's been in the league this coming year. He's been in the league for 14 years. So, that's a while. That's a while. But he's still a beast nevertheless. But I do want to see how this does end up panning out. This is something that I do want to watch closely, especially with the names that they have. That they're just questioning. As of now, they're questioning. Of course, you know, they're not going to say anything that ends up throwing themselves under the bus. You know, at the end of the day. But he's actually pulling up, you know, how long Harrison's been on the field with Pittsburgh as well. Because he's another name that I think, you know, people will watch closely and see what happens with him. Because knowing that this guy, you know, the impact player defensively, he hasn't been for the past season or so, but we'll see. We'll see. I did want to address that. Anything else before we get away from it? Because, like I said, these are big names, being Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers as well, and James Harrison. All.
No, not really. Pretty much we'll wait and see what comes out of it.
Okay. Now, I know we were in the green room and addressing some of the baseball races. Your thoughts on what's going down in the MLB that you'd like to discuss?
Hey, guys, something that has broken today. And I'm actually watching the Pirates now. because this series that they're doing with against the Dodgers is very interesting. Since we keep it in Pittsburgh, let's keep it in Pittsburgh for this story. The Pirates have lost 13 of their 15 games this season. There are reports that the Pirates are thinking about trading McCutchen now. Are they just trying to throw the whole season down the tube now? Really? Because if I remember correctly, they're 10 games out of first place. And don't get me wrong, they could catch hot and maybe make it in the wild card. They're like 5 games out of that. That Central, they're not catching. The Cubs are winning that, and they're going to win, run away with that and probably win it in the first part, at least the end of August. September, so the Cubs are not going to be playing for anything. Like maybe home field advantage through the playoffs. But what's your thoughts, Ty, of Pittsburgh possibly shopping McCutchen around?
Absolute insanity. But before I get into that, you don't think the Cardinals could catch them, especially after the Cardinals gave the Cubs their first sweep of the season this week as well? I mean, the Cardinals are 9 back, but the Cardinals are still a team to be reckoned with also.
I mean, I guess the Cardinals could give them a challenge, but I really don't see it. I mean, okay. This is what I was talking about when I said, don't worry, don't be shocked if the Cubs don't hit that rough patch. And they hit a rough patch, just like I said. But I look for them, they'll figure it out and they'll run away with this division.
Okay, now as I address this situation, I'm going to try and be as blunt as possible about this situation. I understand that if they move McCutchen, right, they probably could get some important pieces on this team. That's how I'm looking at it, So I understand, the business of the situation on why they would try to make that move happen. But me analytically and speaking on how I like McCutchen a lot, this is absolute insanity. Insanity. Their biggest player on the entire team, including pitchers. I don't see anybody on this team that can hold a candle to him. Of course, there's impact players on this team. You have Freeze there as well, a guy that I like that was drafted out of Minnesota, and Liriano. I can't think of one person on this team that holds as much weight to this entire franchise right now than McCutchen. To move him, it would be stunning. But we've seen these things happen before. I won't even say crazy things because it's not even crazy to me. It's not crazy to me, but to me, this would be a crazy move. But we've seen wilder things happen. But if they move McCutchen, and I think they'd have to address this before the trade deadline and try to at least get 2 or 3 pieces in reference of this trade so it could help them. McCutchen has been showing up in the field. He shows up at the plate. He's an all-star for them, too. I just don't get it. I don't get it. And any move that they do make puts them over the hump to win the NL. I'm not just saying win the NL Central. I'm not just saying to win the division. They got to win the National League if this is going to make the move. Like, they got to go back to the Willie Stargell days that they are family type stuff back in the late 70s. Like, if you move McCutchen and that doesn't happen, then what? Then what? You guys are still going to be searching like the days of when you let go of Barry Bonds and Bobby Bonilla and Vance fighting those guys back in them days in the early 90s. That's how I'm looking at it. Like, I'm dating this situation. So, Pittsburgh, y'all better not. But, I mean, your thoughts on this. How do you feel about it?
I think it's crazy. It's ludicrous. I mean, not even talking on the field. Look what he does in that community. It's stuff that I've heard that he does volunteer-wise. I mean, that would be crazy. I mean, they had probably one of the best outfields already with Marte, Harris, and then the young guy that it always slips my mind, his name. They have one of the best outfields in baseball. I mean, if they get rid of him, whoever gets to him, they will be a reckon with.
And you're referencing Polanco, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, that's him, Polanco. I can never never remember his name for some reason. And he's a very good left-hander, has a cannon on his hand. He's going to be good. I'd try to keep this together if I was Pittsburgh, because, hey, if you want to trade him, go ahead. But make sure you trade him to the AL, not somewhere in the NL that could hurt my Nats. But if you want to trade him out in the AL somewhere. So we may have to worry about him in the playoffs or in the World Series or something.
Okay, we do have a caller in queue calling out of New York. We have Messiah in the building. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
In the words of Ryan McKnight, I'll take us. Yes, bring them on over. We got some pieces to move. You going to move one of the top few Negro players we have? This is why they fell apart last time after they let Bonds and Bonilla go. They don't learn, do they? They don't learn. McCutcheon, and he's under 30 still. Bring him, boy, boy. We're not talking about an all-star. We're talking about an MVP.
That's
not an all-star. You don't fill in pieces of a winning team by getting rid of your MVP. Okay, not
true.
Your MVP, the league MVP. So I don't know what the finances are in Pittsburgh, but in the words of Brian McKnight and Al Stretch, I'll take her. Bring on in. We'll even let you grow your dreads back. Bring on in. Bring it on in. We'll grow your dreads back. Bring it on in. Bring it on in. We'll give it one of these top believers. We'll give y'all Gardner. Give your bald-headed white guy and looks like Remy from High Learning and bring in a brother. Why not? Oh, I'm with it. And we're throwing out Chapman. Let him bust his guns out in Pittsburgh. He can get his Tavares Jackson on out there. I am with it. I'm in New York dealing with folks thinking about bringing back Jose Reyes. Okay.
So wait, are you a Mets fan or a Yankee fan?
Man, I'll, you know what? I should hang up right now and leave the grill. You hear the sincerity in my voice of 26 championships in my voice? I'm not no Mets fan.
Come on, please don't do that. Listen, you are not alive for all 26. This is what I tell all Yankee fans. This is why I get in arguments with the Yankee fans. I swear.
Well,
you
as a brother, we only recognize the championships from the late 70s and the 90s. So as a brother, I don't recognize the Whitey Ford and Mickey Mantle. That's for them Italians. As a brother, I'm speaking of when they had the brothers, Reggie Jackson and Roy White from the 70s. And of course, you know, I'm a 90s guy, so I grew up. I remember I was there when they pitched the no-hitter with Andy Hawkins and lost, okay, and them Yankee terrible teams giving Danny Tartable $25 million and overpaying for Mike Gallego. Oh, I could go on, okay? Mel Hall out here raping 14-year-olds, Louis Finolian. Need I go on?
Listen. Right now, I'm not even real comfortable with you right now because my twins are playing the Yankees right now in Yankee Stadium, so we not friends right now.
We might leave JoJo Mauer at the stadium. Bring him on to a stadium that he can actually pull in.
I'm gonna keep it 100% with you. You can have Joe Mauer the way that he's playing. You can have that big ass contract and his ground ball hitting. He ain't even a catcher no more. Like,
you know, I'm a Yankee fan, right? We eat those. We're not the Mets. We're not still trying to get money from Bernie Madoff behind bars to budget ourselves. Please.
Take them.
Please.
You can have him. I've had enough of it. And everybody like, oh, Joe's a good hitter. This Joe, you can have him. I'm done. He's done. What Joe Miles, what? He's 32 years old.
I don't think the Cubs are slowing down. I think what the Cubs are going to do is turn all the way up. They're trying to get one of the relievers out of New York. They do that and go all in. Then we got to look at the GM right here. He might be the GM, probably up top five all times. He might be up there if he could pull off a championship in Boston and then come over into Chicago. This kid's legacy may be on the line. The hell with Moneyball, little Billy Bean out there in Oakland. Okay.
Listen, I see Epstein. Theo is not playing around. And the crazy part about it is if he gets this to work in Chicago, just like Tommy was hitting on, man, you got to think about how much youth is right there with the Cubs. This could happen for a while. like, y'all better get used to this. Like, there's no old head on the Cubs right now. There's nobody, like, middle of their 30s and knocking on 40 door. Like, these dudes are young and beasting. So, just like Tommy said, they're hitting a rough patch right now. And, I mean, the Cardinals play good ball regardless. If they're not playoff relevant, they are going to play good ball regardless. I mean, they still have
well, I mean, you still got to explain that Haywood $200 million contract, but, you know.
Hey,
that's going to look like Carl Crawford dealing a little bit.
Some stuff I can explain. Some stuff I can't explain. Some I can't. But at the end of the day, like we were just talking about with the Cubs situation, but I actually overlooked the fact that, you know, McCutchen was a part of the MVP talk last season. Just because of the season last year.
He has
year,
an MVP on his resume.
Right. And looking at the situation that this year that they are in the middle of the pack and the wide move to do is to watch them move him. I'm answering this personally. Like, I don't think it's a good move, but analytically, I think that they're trying to pull pieces in. And this is just the business side of sports in general, like, which I don't like. I like the raw talent. Like, I can't like what your agent can
do.
This
is a small market thinking. See, everyone praises small market, but in baseball, you can't blame them because these guys is revenue sharing. So for you to be revenue sharing, getting money from big markets, and still, but understanding the way them salary, come on, Hayward got $200 million. That's what's at the market. All it takes is one dumb owner, and that's the problem with baseball. Some of these contracts just makes no sense. We talk about NBA contracts. Some of these baseball deals is just out of control. Like Ariola, what is the Cubs going to do with Ariola now?
You say big contracts now, you wait till 2018 when one of the best baseball players in the world goes to free agent. Watch to see what the money gets thrown out to Bryce Harper. And I'm hoping my Nationals can keep him. But I'm afraid.
Not, come on. This is Washington. Please. Be glad.
Be glad
Stroudsburg took a deal. Be glad Stroudsburg took a deal. Because I thought that was a discount deal right there. Because he don't know when his elbow is going to explode.
Right. That's not funny. I shouldn't even be laughing. I don't laugh about injuries. Let me knock on wood. But
when you pay pitches like that, like now the Crayshaws is different. You know, you're paying for past success, hoping they could do it for the next 5 years, and you're throwing an extra 3 years on top. Most contracts is overpaid by 3 years. And I think baseball is really cutting down on that. They uploading 4-year deals and start with all this crazy back money for the next 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, but look at
all Albert Pujols.
Yeah, right. Just
Josh Hamilton in rehab and collecting and getting surgeries. I'm like, unbelievable.
Look at all of the contracts that just have been, you know, thrown out there in the past, I want to say 5 or 6 years. You have Pujols dealing in Anaheim. You also have C.J. Wilson the same year, right? Then you have the situation with Stanton and the money that he's getting thrown right there in Miami with no potential of actually peaking into a postseason run. I mean, even though they got big names down there with Barry Bonds being a part of the staff and Donnie Baseball, like, the Marlins still look like the Marlins right now. Like, right now, like, I agree with Tommy as much as I don't want to agree with him because he's on the air with me and that's my brother. The Nationals look like they're going to run away with the East right now. They look like they're going to run away with the East, at least for the next 2 years.
I don't know about that with the way
I don't know about running away because the Mets are still there. They just got to generate some offense, and we'll see what happens. But Nationals do not print their own money. Let's just
we can win the division, but we just got to beat teams that we're supposed to beat. We went out to the West Coast and won 2 games and lost 3-5 straight.
You said the Mets and they got to generate offense while they're missing pieces. Wright just went down. They think Wright might be done for the season.
Yeah, the Mets have the same. I mean, this is why they didn't go overpaid. I mean, the deals they made in the offseason was once you make a run deep in the playoffs like this, the next year, if you go into offseason and overpaid, I think right now they line up. It's suspect, but like I said, I thought they should have been moved Granderson. There's a lot of pieces that overachieved or stayed on course after the success of this deal. So now you look back, now we back to basically flashback to last year. This is exactly how things was looking last year for the Mets until they was able to pull off some moves.
I mean,
they've depleted
still
the farm already, so I don't know. All this thinking about trading Wheeler to bring something back. This kid's coming off surgery already, so we'll see where Ace is in the hole. But I think Samson, the Mets do have a deal to make, and then we'll see what happens off and running.
I mean, we're four games up on the Mets in Miami, and this is with Bryce Harper struggling, because he's struggling, Zimmerman struggling, and all. Plus, we're not getting any production with our leadoff hitters. So, I mean, we can get that and get Harper's back on track. It's coming. We could, I mean, make some noise. And we got to get bullpen help. Jesus, do we got to get bullpen help.
I say it like this. The one thing why I see the Nationals run away with this, there's a bitter cup of Kool-Aid, right? And the contents of that Kool-Aid is called last year. And watching what happened last year to this national team and they didn't get to the postseason is what is going to inspire them to not fall in that same cup of Kool-Aid from last year. They can't. Like, and while the Mets lost an interesting piece to the national team, Murphy is sitting there on that national team like, listen, let's get ready to make this push while we get ready for the Midsummer Classic and make that run in August. He cannot watch his team overpower them in the East right now. Like that's what I'm looking at. And in the Marlins, The Marlins are in their own way. The Marlins can't figure themselves out. Like, I feel like I don't even have the ground to talk about this, but they can't even win at home comparison to at road on the road. Like, they win better away from Florida. They win better away from Miami. Hey, that's just me. That's just me. But like I said, the Nationals are up. They're just like Tommy hit on. There's a couple of questionable things going on with this team, and they're still up. Interesting enough, with I can't really say a big gap, but four games is enough. Four games is enough right now until everybody starts to get it. You know what I mean?
And the words of Mary J. Blige, reminisce, sound like last year.
True.
Everyone's waiting for the Nationals to make this big move, and then all of a sudden, the Cuban defector shows up to New York and propels them into the playoffs. Now, think about it. The Nationals also tried to give Yusefitis $100 million last year. And Murph, where would he would have been? Where would he been if they would have needed those bats? So with the Mets, when you have strong pitching like that, the offense come and go. They're not going to sit there. They're not going to sit there. They know the time is out. They're going to make a move, and we'll see. If the whole key part is, I keep saying, is the Yankees. The Yankees, who have never been sellers before, decide to start selling. They have the pieces most teams need with this bullpen. So it depends what teams feel they can sell. And that's what the wild card, extra wild card does. It keeps certain teams holding on to pieces. Back in the past, last 20 years, you know, you don't see no more, well, I say, trades like that where teams are just giving up early and making deals and moving guys. And these guys making an impact on the pennant race. That's kind of the downfall of that extra wild card, four calls. No one remembers that the Yankees played one wild card game lost to the Astros last year. Why would you sit up there and make moves and add dead contracts just to play one wild card game?
Plus, there's reports that Syndergaard, in my case, one of the best pitchers the Mets have got. His right elbow is flaring up. If they lose him for any amount of time, that looks good for my Nationals.
Again, like I said, the Nationals, if they blow this lead right now, 13 games above 500, right, and end up losing to whether the Mets or the Marlins, you can guarantee there's pieces that are going to leave this team, including one of the biggest names in baseball, the Bryce Harper leaving, without a doubt, without a doubt. And partial of the situation is Bryce Harper could be part of the blame. Because Bryce Harper is fell apart right now.
Yeah, the nerve to put that kid in the same breath as Barry Bonds. Stop it.
Well, no, wait. That's a debate. You might run into a debate here.
No, it ain't no debate. That is no debate. Don't even start that foolishness. This ain't no debate.
Where was Barry Bonds at this age?
I'm called pie in the sky.
Where was Barry Bonds at this age? I believe he was down at Double A or minor leagues.
Oh, I'm so – hold on. Let's not even – we're here. I'll put it like this. The MVP better get it done. Sound like the same conversation we had in the playoffs about Game 7. It's not going to be – then the MVP need to show up. He's the MVP. Stole by drinking last year. He's the MVP. Then he better show up. It's halfway through the season. Or somebody worried about their contract already.
Like I said, you will run into a debate about this. It's not me. I actually had a debate with Tommy because Tommy, he's a national fan, so I feel him on defending his player. You know what I'm saying?
I call him an Expo fan. He's an Expo fan in my presence.
No, well, actually, I think, Tommy, who did you like before they turned into the Nats?
Baltimore.
Oh, so he was an O's. He liked the O's before. Okay.
Man, I'd still root for the O's. I hope they do well. I mean, they.
Well, he was with Brady Anderson and Mike Devereaux and the boys.
Baltimore can win this division if they can find pitching. If they don't find starting pitching, they're going to lose this. That all depends on. I still say don't sleep on Toronto in this division, in that division.
Baltimore's in first right now. Baltimore's in first. They're 2.5 up from Toronto, but
yeah, and they're losing right now to Tampa.
3-0, and the Red Sox are still there too. You can't count Boston out too because this is the farewell tour for Poppy too. So you know that they're revved up.
This is a 3-team race. Tampa and the Yankees are out done. And I can't believe that because I thought this would be one of the most competitive divisions this year, besides Tampa.
But if the Yankees are done, that makes it dangerous for the other teams because if they start moving that bullpen to contenders such as the Cubs or the Nationals, that could change the fortunes for other teams. And the Yankees have never been sellers, so this is a pivotal to. Yeah, me personally, I think they should sell and build around that infield and just bring the kids up, but that's not – what the Yankees do. They feel if we could get one, if we get my man from Pittsburgh, like we just alluded to, he could go on a run. So with the way baseball works, you got a whole another half season to go. If you get a former MVP from Pittsburgh and give up some bullpen young pieces, can that really put juice into the Bronx? And then they have their pitching is up and down. So it's like the whole, we got another 70 games to go.
Roughly,
I might have some bullpen help. That's for sure.
We are closing in on the halfway mark of the season. You know, everybody's around the 74, 73 game mark of the season, which they played. You know, 162. So the 81 mark is coming around. And I mean, if we take a picture of how everything stands, I just want to see everything change up as we get closer. You know, to at least the All-Star game, because I literally. We'll call that the mid-season classic and the midway point of the season, which is around the corner. Okay, so we are nearing the last quarter of the show and have not talked about the hysteria. I don't even know why I'm laughing because it's not funny. If you were to talk to me off of air, it's not funny at all. But the hysteria going on in the NBA. First and foremost, we get Derrick Rose going to New York. Right.
I'm rubbing my knees as you say that.
You're silly. My God. No, you did not just say that. Okay. And secondly, the piece of the puzzle where I'm not laughing because I'm horribly hurt, but however, I had to kind of look at it differently, is Serge Ibaka going to Orlando for three pieces, in which included Ilyasova, Sabonis, and Victor Oladipo. Now, the NBA draft was just yesterday, and everybody is talking about the job the Thunder did, and the Thunder didn't even have a selection in either round.
Don't feel bad. Either did my Wizards.
And I think the Heat didn't have a pick, and Cleveland. I think Cleveland, the Heat, the Thunder, and the Wizards didn't have picks.
And New York, of course.
The Knicks did either.
And New York, of course.
So that's five teams in the draft, in which the draft that went down yesterday, first and foremost, the question is, and I know a lot of people made move after move to make people get draft picks here and there. Watching the Celtics get so many picks, it's like, wait, hold on. Is this NBA Europe? Because they are bringing over everybody and their mother from across the pond. It's like, are you guys happy with what you have there? Because the Celtics made an interesting run last year. They made an interesting run last year, and they're bringing in over like 6 to 8 players to do what? Be D-League and stashed away? Like, I don't get that. So that's one. And then two, I want to hear the impact of the Derrick Rose move to New York and Ibaka going to Orlando. I want to see how you guys feel about it. Tommy, I'll start with you first. Your thoughts on some of the moves and pickups in the NBA yesterday, or within this week, not just yesterday.
I'll go in reverse Olympic order. The Bronze go to Boston, did not think they was going to make 8 picks. This just shows how the league has changed in the last 20 years when it comes to draft picks. GMs, not all GMs value their draft picks the same. When you hear someone got 8 picks, all the Mullalo, they're going to move up. He couldn't get no one to bite to get that second anchor all-star. So if you look at that Boston team, they don't have a low post presence. They don't have wing help. They got Isaiah Thomas. They lone all-star who's undersized. So, yes, they have a lot of good players, but this can easily go the other way. We don't get that anchor. And
they do have a post presence. They have Sellinger.
Stop it, son. Stop it. Nobody gives love to Sellinger. Stop it. Do I got to give him the roadie speech? That dude has no vertical game. Stop it. If that was the case, they should have went and made the deal with Philadelphia, at least get Oakford and Noel with that pick to throw down there. But my whole thing is they really want to get either Butler or another wing player, and these GMs are not valuing these one-and-done kids who haven't dominated. After the first 2 picks, there was a whole bunch. Have you looked at the stats of these guys so that was pouting that they were still sitting there as these international players were getting picked left and right? You sitting there pouting, averaging 5 points a game and 6 rebounds? And you sitting there pouting like someone's supposed to give you a job? That's what I love about the NBA drafts, a reality check. These guys should be able, after they get drafted or don't get drafted, to be able to go back to school like they do in baseball. And what does that show when these GMs are willing to pick somebody from overseas that's the same age as you and wait on them 2 or 3 years?
I know.
In the words of the Wayne brothers, message. That's the message. They're willing to pick a guy that's not even thinking about coming over for 2 to 3 years possible rather than deal with you who they've seen play college ball. And it's not like the 96 draft or even 98, 99 when you had one of maybe exploding freshmen and sophomores. You kind of knew. These guys, I'm watching the draft, and these guys are all linky, had the same similar skill set, and that's what the draft has become. Long, linky guys with similar skill set. I've seen an honorable defensive mention, and that's why you came out after 1 year. You was honorable mention on defense, and that's why you came out after 1 year. And so Boston, they just stuck with a whole bunch of picks. And that's what it was. Nobody bit. No one wanted to move up to get nobody. Nobody. And as far as New York, this is what we do. Torn ACLs. On a decline, come on over. Now, he thanked the Bulls at his press conference for trading him to New York. Maybe something's brewing. Maybe Aaron was drinking a Zen Master. But I'm going to sit back, watch free agency after July 1st, because this is an incomplete process. Because these guys have $32 million in the cap, and they still have pieces to get. I don't want to hear about this Durant. Let's Durant hologram count. If I'm Durant, I'm hoping he got a call about that deal with Ibaka. Because they played the best small ball with Ibaka at the 5 against Golden State. The Magic's not going away with Ibaka, so I'm assuming there's another deal in place. But if they didn't call Mr. Durant about that deal before it went down, this could be quite interesting. But I don't think he wants to go out like that. So he figured he could work with these pieces. And Victor at the 2 guard, he can't shoot, and he must be on the ball. Westbrook is maturing. Maybe he'll find a way to get these guys started, but there's more deals coming down the line, and we have to see what happens. But the draft deals was better than the draft, I'll tell you that.
Well, no, Oladipo's shooting percentage was up last year, so that's different. And two, people don't know this, Durant and Oladipo have a great brother. Not even like they just know each other. These two are friends out of D.C. So this is actually a plus. That's the only plus side I see in it. But the negative that I look at it is how close Ibaka and Durant were. And knowing that they had a little bond within themselves also. So that's the one thing that I look at with Presti is like, does he really know what he was doing? And just like you said, it is a situation where they asked his opinion, being Durant or Russell, or doing something like that before making that move. Because you have to think about it. Not only next season do they have to worry about Russell Westbrook, they have to worry about Serge Ibaka also, because they are in the same year. So having
and history shows he didn't contact Durant or Westbrook when they dealt Harden four years ago.
Well, they all were overseas. They were all overseas at the Olympics when that went down. Oh, the only one that was notified of it was Harden, and Harden turned down the $1.5 million, which was given to him by Houston. So that's interesting in itself. But Tommy, your thoughts on the situation within this week with the Derrick Rose news, the draft itself, and Ibaka going to Orlando, and the Thunder picking up pieces as well.
The only thing I can think of for them trading Ibaka, I'll start there, is they're trying to keep KD and Westbrook together so they can throw out the money then. That's the only thing I can think of. I just think I want to see what happens in New York, because there's got to be more pieces. And there's reports that Phil Jackson told Derrick Rose before the trade even went down that he was going to try his hardest, and the Knicks organization was going to do everything they could to get KD in New York. But that's been talked for, 2 years now? So, I mean, if they can get KD in New York with Rose, and I don't even expect the MVP Rose and the healthy Rose, but a 75% of what Rose with Melo and Rodriguez, that's kind of dangerous in a way. If they can get Carmelo to come along, play some kind of defense, New York could possibly make the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying they'll make a deep run because they don't have to gel, but they could possibly make a deep run. And Ty, remember on Tuesday's show when we were talking about the draft and different players, and I said I hope my Wizards somehow make a deal to get into the draft? Who did I say I wanted my Wizards to take?
I forget who you said. Who did you say?
I'll tell you this much. He played in South Florida.
McClellan, yeah, okay.
Who did we sign as soon as the draft was over?
So they're listening to us.
Thank you, every other GM that wanted to think that the University of Miami basketball team is a joke now, because we just got a steal. Thank you. You can get a healthy John Wall. Hopefully Bradley Beal decides to show up. I mean, Bradley Beal turned down to play in the Olympics so he can work on getting healthy and work on his game. We can get a Otto Porter to play healthy. Now, there's reports that the Wizards are after Noah. I don't know. I mean, I can understand why we're going after him, but I don't like the whole max deal. That's as dumb as going. I mean,
yeah.
A max deal on Bradley Beal is stupid because you can't guarantee he's going to stay healthy.
They need to outlaw the word max deal from now on.
But
especially, just like Tommy said, just look at the name that they're saying with Bradley Beal, and it's funny that we're talking about two Florida Gators. But Bradley Beal, injury-prone in his last 2 to 3 seasons. And Joe Kim Noah has been injury prone in his last 2 to 3 seasons, another Florida Gator that that they're trying to throw big money at, especially in Washington, too. So it's crazy in itself. We got to see what Noah still has in the tank. I mean, Noah's actually getting long in the tooth also, so that's interesting also.
I mean, the only thing I like about getting Noah is he can help with the block shots and rebounding, something that for some reason we had problems with this past season.
Now, quick question. Is Nene and Goat just got a deal 2 summers ago. Is Nene a free agent now? Because you don't want all the logjam and forwards like Chicago Bulls had.
I don't.
You talking about
Gortat,
right?
Gortat got a 4-year, 5-year deal 2 summers ago. So is Nene still on the contract? Because I figure with John Wall, you need someone as athletic as him on the wing running with him. And every time I see, the Wizards are too slow.
When I pay attention to the Wizards ball, I think they're more offensive-minded. And on the defensive side of the ball, that's where the question still lies. And looking at a guy like Noah, it could be needed, but his health is the biggest issue out there. Whether it's his back, whether it's his shoulder, things of that nature, that has to be something that the Wizards or whoever actually is intriguing that situation that they have to look at closely. That's one thing that I'm looking for. Okay. Go ahead, Tommy.
I'm just very interested to see what Scott Brooks does.
And I even forgot that part. Look, and that's the bad part about what just happened. I'm up here lost that they have Scottie Brooks now. Now they got my coach there, too. I want to see what Brooks works for out of this team, because while Brooks was in OKC, if it wasn't for Ibaka, he didn't really have a strong defensive mind. Like, it was run-and-gun basketball, which we got it done. We got to the Western Conference Finals a handful of times, but if he has a bunch of bigs that don't come in and protect the paint in Gortat or Nene at the end of the day, this is going to be one of those, I hate to say it like this, Phoenix Suns type of basketball where we're going to look to see who scores 112 first. You know what I'm saying? And nobody wants to see that, especially in the Eastern Conference. But let me do this quickly as we near the end of the show. First and foremost, I think Derrick Rose and Carmelo Anthony together, with the wild card of Porzingis outside of those two, could be an excellent core together. And here's why. I want you to close your eyes and envision normal New York Knicks basketball. Close your eyes, right? And I want to be Walt Clyde Frazier, even though I don't like the suits that he wears. And even though I don't like the suits that he wears, but, you know, I want to be Walt Clyde Frazier. You know what I'm saying? Rebound comes off. Pass to Derrick Rose. Now open your eyes. Right? Right? Because all you've heard for the past couple of years was rebound comes off. Pass to Carmelo Anthony. Cross half court shot goes up. Like, that's been the basketball for the New York Knicks. So these guys kind of save each other. And here's why I say Carmelo kind of saved Derrick Rose. You do not need Derrick Rose to go 100 miles an hour to get to the lane to score buckets for you. You have a point guard that is going to force Carmelo to do other things than stay outside on the perimeter and hawk up shots. Carmelo is dangerous when he has his back to the basket and he's on the block. That Derrick Rose on that team makes him go to the block. With Porzingis being the youngster on the outside working his way in, that is a dangerous piece to the puzzle. These guys actually save each other with at least 3 guys on the floor right now that can get it done wherever that ball is at, whether it's in Rose's hand, whether it's in Porzingis' hands, whether it's in Melo's hand. They do not want to live that life of watching Carmelo just jack up jump shots. If these guys, all 3 of them, including Carmelo, because Carmelo gets injured too, if these guys can stay healthy, I don't even want to say, oh, the Knicks are definitely a playoff team, without a doubt, like, come on. Like
how about envision Rose? How about Rose and Porzingis on the pick and roll, and Melo's on the wing waiting for the option, That's what I want to see with Noah or somebody else crashing the boards. That's what needs to happen.
But however the offensive set may go, but what I'm trying to say is it ain't Carmelo getting the ball because he don't believe in Calderon. You feel what I'm saying?
Does this make a Knicks team right now a playoff team with the way the East is? Without this is without the KD thing. Of course, if they get KD, we all know that the playoff team then.
The Knicks are a playoff team right now with Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose is an instant impact to that team. This is no guard. This is no point guard that people are going to question. And mind you, I have to talk while he's being while he's healthy. I have to look at it like that. If he's healthy and able to give it a go, then yes. Then I'm looking at it in this perspective. It's not
that's
like
why
it's
the
a
bitch is
color.
Important. So you can't rely on him for 70 games. You get a good 55 to 60 games out of him this year, you should be fine. But the rest behind him has to be in place. You can't overpay and overreach for Joakim Noah or D. Howard or some craziness. You still have to keep your eye on the prize. Get another body down low to get the boards, and I keep saying get Batum, and get another quality guard to back up. And we still got a kid that we drafted overseas we've been stashing that could come aboard too. And bring back Galloway, and bring back some of the pieces from last year too. Let's not have Melo try to get to know all his teammates again for the fifth year in a row.
We know one Christmas Day game, New York and Chicago. Fuck it.
Listen, can I finish eating, please? Because like I let both of you deal with y'all business. Both of y'all got to do.
Like, we just like the Knicks. We're gonna be arguing on the court.
Right, Okay, well, y'all didn't even think it like that. Well, hey, I'm sorry. I put salt and pepper to my dishes. I'm sorry. That it looked a little better. Okay, so this is why I'm saying that. Like, the invasion situation that I threw it out there, all three of these guys get to work together. They have to work together. Now, the coaching situation is a liability. We have to see what Hornacek can do with these guys because, let's be honest, Hornacek is a run-and-gun coach. Hornacek just came from being out there in Phoenix, didn't work together in Phoenix, and now he's coming into a New York situation, other with Phil Jackson, and Phil wanting the triangle to work, and it's not really looking like it's going to be a triangle or bust situation. It's going to be Jeff's show, unless he's really buying into what Phil pushes. But let me slow down. So now, the NBA draft goes down, and it kind of ties into what we just talked about with Boston. I really want to see what they get done because they picked up a lot of small forwards, and you got Jay Crowder there. You also got Evan Turner there, and you picked up at least two small forwards. How is this going to work out? Then you got Avery Bradley. You got Isaiah Thomas. Are you guys going to go big at times with Isaiah on the floor? Is it going to be, you know, y'all going to have small lineups to be ready for teams like Golden State just for two games in the season? That's the one thing I'm worried about with Boston. Number two, I may make people mad around the kitchen, and I don't care. That's my intent. I bring the fire. I bring the flame. If you see smoke around Sports City, it's because it's me. Buddy Hill should have been the number one pick.
Well, I said that.
I don't care what nobody says. Listen, and here go the crazy part. They're like, oh, Ben Simmons is the next LeBron James. Yeah, I know. He's 6'10". Now, that's something I slept on. I thought he was like 6'7", 6'8". He's 6'10". So I give him quality because he has a great skill set. But he has no jump shot. They're going to have to work on his game. And Philly is in the cellar, like next to all of the wine bottles. Like, Philly is terrible. Terrible. You're going to bring a fifth in there that's not a proven scorer. What's going to happen? I don't get it. I'm questioning that move. But you bring a Buddy Hill in, I think that helps lift a little bit of the weight off all of the big guys trying to work their way back, whether they keep Okafor or if they keep Noel or if they deal with Embiid, because Embiid has been in the league for 2 years and has not played a game of NBA basketball. None. So I want to see how that works out. But now they watch Buddy Hield go to New Orleans with Anthony Davis. I think that's a problem. The Hornets are going to be a problem. That's going to be a wild situation. Also within the draft, too. A lot of people slept on this. Team to watch out for, the Los Angeles Clippers. They picked up Bryce Johnson, that kid out of North Carolina. Now, watch the situation, which I don't even think it will happen. If Blake Griffin sits up there and gets hurt or something of that nature, which I highly doubt that will happen, but they have people behind him that can come in there and ball and still watch Chris Paul throw lob after lob at the rim while these guys go after it. So the Clippers are going to be a surprise team out west. Watch out for the Clippers now to address my situation. This song has been remade, but I like the version of Boys and Men and singing It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday.
I'm thinking End of the Road.
Well, whatever you want to throw out there, the fact of the matter is, I didn't want to see Serge Ibaka go. And knowing his defensive capability is great, but knowing that they pointed out a lot of pieces to the situation that Serge is settling to be an outside spot of jump shooter when he's a power forward, where Serge actually has a post game but doesn't want to result to it. And he basically walked away from his defensive presence also on blocking shots, playing good defense, things of that nature. He didn't come out to play ball defensively until the postseason. And if it wasn't for that small ball situation that they ran with Serge playing the five, I mean, they actually would put him on the bench after that Spurs game. I mean, out of the Spurs series. Spurs wasn't really getting that much time when they was playing the Spurs. So that it bothers me because he was a quality big, a quality forward in the Western Conference. He's going to be a true miss. But having Oladipo, Russ, I'm looking at it as KD coming back. That's at least an interesting 1-3 right now. Depending on who they put at the four, whether it's the bonus or Cantor, or I doubt if they start Nick Collison. I think Collison is still coming off the bench. But I think they have a legit 1-5 right now.
I think they should get Ryan Anderson. Right, that's just me.
No. I don't want no. We don't need another shooter. No. I don't know. We got rid of, why would we get rid of Serge if we're going to go get Ryan Anderson?
A sharpshooter. That's the way the league is going now. It's funny that they got more for Ibaka than they got for James Harden. Go figure.
Right. Oh. Hey, that's just me. That's just me. But like I said, I feel awkward about it, watching Serge leave. But now I'm more focused. So today is June 24th, I am a week away from being worried out of my mind what happened. Okay.
I mean, not to make you more worried, but you know Durant was in Manhattan for a soccer charity. I'm just saying. Charity soccer game. Durant was in New York. I'm just saying.
Whatever. So
what's Papaya's hot dog? I'm just saying.
Wait. You scream in New York. He's out back there screaming D.C. Look, I got people putting on my wall, Miami this, that. Like, I've been dealing with it. So I know for the next 7 days, it's going to be hell for your boy T.P. Time.
Being okay. You're so loyal, you could come on over when he comes to New York. There's plenty of room.
Let me tell you. I'm from that era. Now, let me just tell you about me, okay? I'm from that era, right? I remember Oak Street. I remember Mace. Only one of them Knicks that I like was Patrick, because he's a Georgetown Hoyer.
Big East.
That's it. Every one of them, from John Starks, and I live in the same city as John Starks. Me and John Starks have met, had conversations, not even like, you know, hey, how you doing? Like, me and John Starks talk.
No, he's a good dude. He came to my school from the New York Garden of Dreams, you know. I looked him in the eye, and all I thought was Game 7. But he's a good dude. But you have to understand, not to cut you, you have to understand something about the 90s teams. They were not the most talented.
Right.
Pat Riley
took
Anthony Mason from the ABA and thought, but they gave 100%.
Let me finish. I'm from that era where I did not like the Knicks. I could not stand them. So I couldn't even picture me cheering for the Knicks. Like, that could never happen. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not saying it like, oh, these people aren't good people. Hell no. I can remember
old
people.
Come on, son.
I can remember
even 50 Cent shook hands with Fat Joe.
Listen, if basketball is a different beast, like still to this day, like the only time I cheered for the Detroit Pistons was when Rasheed Wallace went there. If she didn't go to the Pistons, you would never see me cheer for the Pistons. I remember when John Sally and Dennis Rodman used to beat Michael Jordan up. I'm talking about beating him up. Like, if Mike came to the lane, he would look at the ref like, yo, that wasn't no foul. Like that type of basketball. I remember how brutal these dudes were. I can never cheer for the Pistons. I can never cheer for the Knicks just because of the animosity I had back then, how dirty they played basketball.
Even Stone Cold shook hands with Vince McMahon. Come on, man. Even Stone Cold Steve Austin made a deal with Vince.
Listen, you got jokes, I got jokes too. You ready? If you got jokes, I got jokes too. You ready? Mike Singletary, I can't win with him. I need okay, you feel me? So I'm going to tell them dudes to hit the showers. I can't do it. I'm Mike Singletary. No, I can't.
Mike haven't had a job since, though.
He's coaching in Minnesota with the Vikings, and he may get the head coaching job in Baylor. Watch out for that if he goes back home to his school in Baylor after the virus situation.
That would be just like Baylor. Wait till everything falls apart. And, let's go with Mike a call.
Right. But it's already crazy that there's parents that are trying to get Browns to come back. So what about that?
I always thought Mike got a raw deal. I think he's the typical old school, like how we just mentioned the era we spoke on. And even though he made that kid burn and cry, he became a Pro Bowler right after that. So there's something about that tough, concrete love, but these guys are not built like that anymore. Could you imagine LeBron going against the Detroit Piston teams, getting hammered, and not getting a flagrant one call?
Never.
Could you imagine McDaniels headbutting him and throwing him to the ground and LeBron trying to fake a three-point? I'm taking LeBron here, but I'm just saying that whole selling fouls to get flagrant. No, you knew when you got flagrant foul back in the day because your teammates was helping you up because you couldn't get up.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Look, this is where I get Dennis Rodman credit in saying it. Dennis Rodman said if LeBron played in the era of the 80s and 90s, he'd be a regular average player.
No, I can't go that far. He would just have to be mentally tough. He couldn't just sell like Van Cunningham said. You just can't trick the ref. Yo, the last thing on your mind back in the day was tricking a ref. Just keep your head on the swivel. You know, he would have to push himself to another level like Mike did. You would have to push yourself to another level. And I think as NBA fans, that's what we like to see. We like to see superstars come in as the rookie, meet expectations, then try to lead a team, then try to fight through. Come on. Remember when Kurt Rambis got clotheslined by Boston and the Lakers just used to get mad that these guys
right.
And what did they do? When the Lakers played the Pistons, who's clotheslining Isaiah Thomas on the first play? Magic. That's how we learn how, when to win, you got to push yourself to an extra level. Not this whole, we go to the Bahamas together, toast, and plan to be free agents together and be on a super team and then still complain about calls. I think
here goes icing on the cake. Outside of LeBron doing that block from behind stuff, who does LeBron defend? LeBron don't play no D. How many times you see LeBron watch a jump shot?
Nah, we can't. Nah, son, step away from the grill, son. That kid digs deep when the possessions need to be stopped, man. Ask D Rose when it was time to lock in. That's one thing you get
guard.
That kid. Now,
he's not a
he locks
guard.
In on key possession if certain cats have the ball. That's what he does. That's you got to give LeBron credit. He's not going to shy away from a matchup. He's not supposed to play for 40 minutes a game. But if it's a pick and roll switch, he digs deep, man. That kid digs deep on defense.
Stop it. I'll give you a handful of people that gave him 30. I'll give you a handful
like
of people.
I don't like his 30 in the league. It's the NBA. There's some guys who sweat and drop 50 points on Dr. J in street tournaments.
Okay, but we're talking about the 80s and 90s. Back then, he would get abused.
Come on. Dominique was going, and Mike used to go at it point for point, man. You can't really shut somebody down unless it's a clear mismatch. That really happens amongst the top 10, 15 stars in the league. where this guy exploits you every time and shuts you down, and you're a top 15
when
guy.
When has LeBron ever made an All-NBA defensive team? When has he ever done it, ever?
No, that's more of a role player's job, though. A top, it's very rare the top play in the league is all offense, all defense. It's like a juggernaut, man. It's very rare.
How many times Mike did it?
I think Mike, that one year when he was Defensive Player of the Year, that was his goal that year to say, I'm on the score.
How many times did he make the defensive team? No, how many times did Mike made that team?
I don't know. I've always thought that was a special team thing for, like, Pippins and the Rodmans, not for the franchise
top. And you act like Pippin wasn't giving people a handful of money on the offensive side of the ball.
Let me tell you something about the Pipsters. Listen, in them seven-game series, that kid used to get his heart taken, and he would show up in the closeout game. But he was always a hot and cold, especially the first three-peat. Even with Pippen, he was hot, he would come and go. He would come and go.
This is the Knicks, man, people.
I'm telling the truth. Go call Tony Kukoc. I got long distance. Call Tony Kukoc. I'll pay for it. One man sat down over a playoff game because the ball wasn't called for him. You realize the hell he would catch? That shows the difference between media coverage. They covered that. That would imagine if that happened now, it would be emoji tweet. You know what I'm saying? You could. I mean, teams had turmoils back then, but because of all this media, the guys can just express themselves when maybe they shouldn't. Imagine if that happened in this day and age. The playing for him, he sits out the final play, and the role player hits the shot. It'll be, oh, I want out of here. Trade me. You know, these guys are sensitive now. Because the ball wasn't called for him. I mean, sat out, not of a regular season game, a playoff game.
No, that wasn't a playoff game. That was a regular season game. That was a playoff game.
Game four. That was a Derek Harper, Jojo English. We know Jojo English was only sent in there to start a fight with Harper, but we won't get into that. We won't get into that.
That was game four in Chicago. So the Knicks lost that game.
Yeah, off the Tony Kukoc winner. When your man Pippen sat out, could have bought, and Phil Jackson called two timeouts. The commentary thought, oh, they're drawing up another play. They were getting on Pippen to get in the game. He refused. Pete Myers go to him, tell him to get in the game. He refused to get in the game. And Tony Kukoc hit the game winner over Mason.
I swore that was a regular season game. I'm going to do the research on it. I thought it was a regular season game.
I'm Messiah, baby. Messiah 2K. You talking up before Google. It was me.
I thought it was a playoff game.
That man sat out off. That's the first year Mike was gone. When they call that phantom foul in games, I think six, on Pippen when he fouled Hubert Davis. Or the same series.
Right.
Same series.
Fact of the matter is, you can't tell me Pippen didn't bring it offensively, because I can remember the game where the first time we ever seen somebody go for 40 and 40, where Mike scored 44 and Pippen scored 40. I think they were playing the Pacers in a playoff game. They survived for 84 points. You still got to think Pippen still had enough energy on the defensive side of the ball to go lock up whoever it was, Reggie Miller at that given time. Or I think Jalen might have been rocking with them at that given time when they played the Pacers, too. Like,
yeah, but when your Pippen main role in that team is defense, and you're playing with a guy that's drawing double teams and putting up over 35, your 20 can it's a lot easier than when it's, you know, you're the only catalyst. So that's very tough. If you look around the league, it's very tough to be. You got to be basically like Mike. You're like we just said, Mike in 88-89. That shows the type of animal that kid was. You know, it's tough, man. You look at Dwight Howard, everyone get on, yeah, he was defensively, but he don't have the offensive skills. It's very hard to be defensive player to you and also all offense, and it's very tough. LeBron plays D, but he can't be like Kawhi Leonard. Now, if you take everyone off the team and Kawhi Leonard raises his point average like Steph did this year, putting up 28 and doing all defense, then we could put him up there.
Okay. That's what we have to wait and see for Kawhi. I want to see if Kawhi doesn't end up panning out like that. But I'm going to get the closeout going, but I have two interesting situations that I wanted to throw out there. First and foremost, you guys' thoughts on, and I want y'all to close out any plug, close out anything that you guys would like to promote. Your guys' thoughts on Dwight Howard being the five in New York. And I'm not going to lie, I watch him and listen to him just to hear him, like, get under my skin and build up my, like my aura. Because he give me gas, like somebody that I feel like give me motivation to go harder. You know what I'm saying? Colin Cowherd said, and I repeat, LeBron James is better than Kobe Bryant. Like, all time, both sides of the spectrum. I'm not saying, like, the Kobe Bryant of this year, because it's not fair. It's not fair. He said all-purpose, all-time, LeBron right now is better than Kobe Bryant's career. So I need to hear how you guys shut down the show on both of those topics and give me a plug, close out, anything that you guys would like to promote also. Messiah, you first.
I'll take the easier route. D. Howard in New York, listen, this guy is like Mike D'Antoni. This guy just keeps moving up, upwards. He weaseled his way out of Orlando to L.A. If you couldn't make it happen with Kobe and them, if you thought Kobe was getting on your case, then you go to Houston where you basically 1-2 punch. You get to the conference finals, like, when is enough enough? I think he need to go quietly to the West. Anchor that Golden State squad. Don't come here to New York where you can't. Just don't do it, because Melo's not the real leader right now. Don't come to a leader's team. He needs to go somewhere where there's a system in place, and he just plays his role with no expectations, just rebound, block, and catch alleys. He needs a point guard that can feed him the rock. I don't want this whole mommy of the Redskins in the early 2000s bringing all these Pro Bowlers in from the 90s and thinking they're going to win. I'd rather go get a hungry kid from the Raptors, Bosme, or, you know, say that could rebound and set screens. Get the role players. I'll pass on D12. Now, as far as Kobe and LeBron, I try to tell people it's comparing Mike and Magic in the essence of Kobe's played with a lot of people. They're two different guys. They're just two different guys, and I think it's fair to say who had the better career. Because the expectations changed from 96 when Kobe came in to by the time LeBron was drafted number one overall. And people always overlooked the fact that Kobe went 13 for a reason. It was a hitting fact. High schoolers' expectations weren't the same then. By the time LeBron comes in, it's no-brainer. You take LeBron, generation player. I think Kobe has actually exceeded expectations more. And played with a top 50 guy and literally had coming off championships and then rebuilding himself after that. So I think we've seen him push himself to limits. A lot of us feel we haven't seen LeBron really push himself to limits a lot of times after his first run with the Cavs. A lot of us feel he went to a team and pushed the team with other all-stars instead of being the anchor. So it depends how you view it. On the offensive side of the ball, there's no way Kobe can't score. With LeBron, it's a different skill set. He's always going to hit the open man. I would rather play with LeBron than play with Kobe. And I always tell people when you answer that question, who would you rather play with, LeBron or Kobe? That's who's better. You'd rather run a break with Magic than just play defense and wait for a kick out with Jordan. You know, that's always the essence of how I make the decision. I would rather play with LeBron than play with Kobe. Besides, okay, dropping knowledge as usual.
Who's better?
I can't do it. I refuse. Because if you say LeBron, then what flashes in my mind is Kobe, Jelly Bean Bryant, putting up 40 points, 10 straight games. That reverse dunk over Sprewell in New York. The explosive highlights alone, dunking on David Robinson. It's like Kobe gives you them highlights. LeBron, he gives you flashes of it. I've seen Kobe do stuff I've never seen LeBron do. If we go by highlights of what you've seen on the court, you're like, get the hell out of here. LeBron is more of a specimen you've never seen, the generation specimen of a Will Chamberlain, Oscar Robertson, Jordan. With Kobe, I always felt he took things Mike did to another level. Kids hit 12 three-pointers in a game, scored 81 points. Okay, averaged 37 for a season. LeBron's more of a complete all-around guy, so it's like it's very tough. You can't make that decision like that. You can't. I'm sorry. I plead the fifth.
Now, that's how you stump Messiah. That's what I'm talking about. He told me that Messiah always has the answers. Well, guess what happened in the kitchen? Hold on. Time out. They call that cricket soup. He can't answer. So keep it to a hush. You can't give me answers. He said he always got answers. Well, guess what? I'll stop that train. Okay. Tommy, you know what to do. But first and foremost, Dwight in New York. How do you feel about Dwight in New York? And secondly, Kobe or LeBron? All-purpose, all-game, all-time right now. And plug and close out as we shut it down.
Oh, Dwight in New York. I give it half a season, and Dwight Obichiwani won out. He can't get along in Orlando. He can't get along with people in Los Angeles with Kobe. He can't get along with Houston with Harden. What makes you think he can get along with Melo, Rose, Porzingis, and possibly KD? So where's he getting the ball at in this mix? Because that's been the main problem. He's not getting enough touches. So that's dumb. Don't even do it. I'm taking Kobe B. Bryant because of the rings.
You did because of what?
Because of the rings.
Wow.
He's got what? Six championships?
Five.
What?
Five
championships to what? Three? Two? I mean.
Three.
I'm going Kobe.
Okay. I'm going to do it like this. I think Dwight would be the missing piece for the Knicks. I think he would actually settle down and not worry about scoring 20 and getting 10 rebounds. I think he would know his role in New York. Being around two other stars around him might calm him down in a youngster that's bigger than him. That may work. Now, I am not the biggest Kobe Bryant fan. I'm not going to lie. I do like and love LeBron. I'm not even going to lie. I do like him. But there is no way that I'm going to say right now that LeBron brings more to the NBA than Kobe did as of Kobe leaving. Let's just say it like this. If Kobe didn't get injured, we'd probably see more Kobe. The torn Achilles, the broken leg, the rotator cuff, all of that just happened in the past 3 or 4 years. Like that made him like, yo, I can't get my shot up, like none of that. Like, you think the dog and Kobe wants to retire right now? And him walking out of the game? I can see LeBron at the end of his career. Do you think LeBron could put up 60? 60. No, I don't think that'll happen.
I don't think we should base it off that. Think about number 8 blowout Kobe versus LeBron the first time in Cleveland. Who would you take?
Right. I mean, we can do this wrong. I mean, if we can talk about every scenario that Kobe brought to the game, or you know what LeBron has done right now, both of them needed pieces around him to be successful. So that
he took Brandy to the prom. I'm changing my vote. Kobe. He took Brandy to the prom.
First and foremost, they're in my dish. They're in my dish eating. I feel like this is the movie life, and he's taking my cornbread, people. I feel like I need.
I'm sorry, I just had a Kobe flashback. I'm sorry.
There's gonna be consequences and repercussions if he keep reaching in my plate. You feel me?
It's not me, Blake Kobe.
No. I'm blaming you because you can't keep your hands away from my cornbread. I even let you talk about it. It's the second time sports video in a matter of 10 minutes, and this is what these people do when they come on air with me, and then they're going to just try and just take what I'm doing. I gave them clear space to do what they needed to do.
You know what we sound like, right? Kobe and Shaq.
I do. And what he said, yo, he said Shaq was paying them girls off too. Stop. You threw me off course. I was clearly eating my food until I was interrupted. Okay. They both needed pieces around them to win. LeBron had to go to South Beach and go build the super team. And then once he got to Cleveland, he needed Kyrie, Love, all those pieces to work out for him. Then, you know, Kobe's situation, the first three was Shaq. The next two was with Powell and Bynum and Lamar Odom. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of exits out. I want to look at these guys when they had nothing. Like, LeBron got to the finals without nobody and got swept. Kobe went out there and put up 81, but didn't make the playoffs because that's when the Lakers were completely terrible. I mean, his point guard was Smush Parker. I bet y'all don't even remember who Smush Parker is. I bet y'all don't.
Out of Fordham. Only one D-Wade actually asked to trade.
Right.
Even D-Wade's like, yo, I can't.
Right. Smush Parker was that bad, okay? So, it's interesting, but right now I feel like LeBron resume, he needs to get more work in before you already just put him ahead of Kobe. Like, you mean Kobe retired this year, you're going to already give him the leg up? Already? I don't know, man. I'm going to go Kobe just to show the respect. I feel like Kobe brought more to the NBA, even though I feel like I'm dissing LeBron, and I don't want to diss LeBron because I like LeBron, but... Plus, LeBron plays bully ball. Like if this dude was a 6'8", 270, like, come on. Ain't nobody built like that. That's like Shaq in his heyday cheating. Like, could nobody be Shaq right there? Can't nobody be LeBron because how big he is at the three. Like, that, come on, man. Hey. But this could continue. I could do this for hours, man. They reaching in my plate, and they won't even eat their own damn food. And I try to give them feasible plates, man. I try, man.
I'll give them my dessert, man. I apologize.
No, because he keeps doing it to me. And it's every time I start eating. Like, why can't I eat on my own? And I serve y'all already. I serve them already. Okay. Let me get up out of here, Sports City. SportsCityChef.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. Check out my big brother, Messiah 2K show. I hope he plugged it right for you. Messiah, give him one more plug so I do it correctly because he told me I ain't giving him love. So let me do this correctly because my brother comes to support me. So throw that shout out.
Hey, I think I'd jump into the chef, you know, but I'm over here doing politics and news all the way to the next show. So get some knowledge with your sports at Messiah 2K show on Facebook and definitely on Twitter. Got over 75,000. Drop in knowledge, get the Negroes and News update, cocky Caucasians, and all that. I'm still thinking about Kobe and LeBron. Good looking, Ty.
See what I'm talking about? See, and then I'm going to have to deal with this drama on the end. Ty, you let him say that. I'm going to get that. Everything, man. This is what I got to deal with, man. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.